Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, February 24th, 2022. And before I talk about the program content and the subject matter of my program this morning, I want to urge all of my listeners to join me in praying for the desperate, suffering people in Ukraine. I'm talking about the citizens of Ukraine, the Christians, the Christian church, the Jewish people in Ukraine. Pray for their safety. Pray for their freedom. Pray that God would remove this bloodthirsty dictator, Vladimir Putin, from his horrible attack on these people. Join me this morning as we speak hope and freedom to the Ukraine. Now, and I thank you very much for doing that. It's all over my Facebook page. I want to talk about a dear friend this morning on the program. I remember hearing the story, oh my gosh, 13 years ago, of Marzeya Amirzadeh and Miriam Rostampour being put in prison in Iran for distributing Bibles. And I learned that they were going to be put to death, hanged for converting to Christianity and witnessing and sharing Bibles all over Iran. And then I remember the outpouring of support, the people that stopped what they were doing and prayed and spoke out in their behalf. And it was a few months later, they were miraculously let go from an Iranian prison. And it was more than just about 6 months after that that they ended up living here in the United States. It was a miracle, everything that happened to them. Now, since then, they have written a best-selling book for Tyndale called Captive in Iran. It shares their experience of being on death row in Iran. My good friend, Marzeya Amirzadeh, has chosen the path of being a spokesperson or a voice for religious freedom in the arena of politics. She, as the former Iranian death row inmate, is now currently campaigning for state representative in Georgia. I'm just so proud of her that she has chosen this pathway of public service, of being a representative of the people of Georgia where she lives. And she has chosen not only that, she got a master's degree as a religious ambassador. So she speaks out regularly for religious freedom, but she wants to make her voice known, remembering her roots, where she came from, and the freedom that God gave her and her best friend Miriam. She wants to use this as a platform to not only serve the people of Georgia as a Christian lady, but to speak up for religious freedom. And so I want to talk to you this morning about my friend. Now, in about 3 weeks or so, she has promised to be a guest on my program, so I'm going to talk to her directly. She will call in and we'll have a discussion. But I want to just whet your appetite for my friend Marzia. I want to talk to you about her and her background. She has a campaign page that's on my Facebook where you can read about her and donate to her. She is going to be a tremendous, tremendous spokesperson. I'm praying that she will win. So if you go to her page and you want to learn about her, I want to read to you her story. She says, "A few things you should know about me. My name is Marzia Amirzadeh, but you can call me Marzi. I was born in Iran a few months before the 1979 Iranian Revolution toppled the Shah and swept an authoritarian socialist radical Islamic regime into power. Despite growing up in a country where the only acceptable religion is Islam, I learned to think for myself. More than 20 years ago, I became a Christian and longed to spread the good news of the gospel to others. I happily risked my life to hand out thousands of Bibles all over Iran. In 2009, I was arrested for being a Christian and imprisoned in the notorious Evin prison, where psychological and physical torture is all too common. I was denied basic human rights like legal representation, health care, and clean drinking water. I endured endless interrogations and threats. I was told I would be set free if I renounced my faith, but I repeatedly refused and was sentenced to death by hanging for being a Christian. A dear friend who I met while in Evin, imprisoned for her political beliefs, was executed without notice at the age of 28. Under international pressure, the Iranian government freed me after 259 days in prison. My first book, Captive in Iran, tells the story of my time in Evin prison. My next book, A Love Journey with God, tells my journey from Iran to America, Islam to Christianity. In 2011, I moved to America, the greatest country in the world, and fulfilled a lifelong dream by becoming a U.S. citizen in 2016. I live in Fairburn and hold a master's in international affairs from Georgia Tech. In addition to being a published author, I am a public speaker and activist for religious freedom. I've met with numerous government officials on behalf of persecuted Christians around the world. I am so proud to be running for District 67. I can't wait to fight for you. I know firsthand what it's like to lose your freedom, and I see it starting to happen here. As your representative, I will always stand up for you and fight for your freedom. From mindless pandemic restrictions, government overregulation, and high crime, you know that I will be fearless in fighting for you." What an incredible statement on her campaign page, an incredible story. And I want you to hear now Marzia at a conference, a summit a few months ago, speaking up for religious freedom. Let's listen.
I would like to thank the IRF Summit officials for holding this event. Thank you. To raise the voices of victims of religious persecution and to call for the global repeal of the death penalty and blasphemy laws. My name is Marzia Amirzadeh. I grew up in Iran, a nation whose radical Islamic government has a terrible record of suppressing human rights, including the routine persecution of religious minorities. Despite this persecution, I became a Christian more than 20 years ago. In 2009, my friend Mariam Rustampour, who is not here, and I got arrested because of our faith in Jesus. We were sentenced to execution by hanging for charges of apostasy, blasphemy, and promoting Christianity in Iran. We spent 259 days in prison. The government authorities constantly threatened us and put pressure on us to renounce our faith in Jesus. After our arrest, we spent the first 14 days in the most horrible jail where we could not see the light. We didn't have fresh water to drink, and we were forced to sleep on a cold concrete floor. In a desperate attempt to stay warm, we covered ourselves with blankets that were soaked in urine. The guards treated us like animals, and by putting food in a dirty pot and throwing it in front of us without any plates or spoons, we refused to eat for days. After 14 days, they transferred us to Evin Prison, a prison that is notorious for torturing, raping, and killing many innocent people. Inside Evin Prison, we were discriminated against by the guards only because we were Christians. For instance, they didn't allow us to use the library, attend classes, or participate in any activities simply because of our faith in Jesus. They refused to give us medications when we were sick. The guards and radical Muslims called us dirty Christians for months. We were forced to participate in Islamic prayers and didn't have access to the Bible. While in prison, we witnessed many injustices and human rights violations, such as the guards physically abusing and beating prisoners, the persecution and imprisonment of other religious minorities, and the torture and execution of innocent young women. But the mental torture was often more difficult than the physical torture. For instance, they separated us and sent me to the ward which housed all the murderers. They put me in a cell, and after a week, they took one of my cellmates and executed her in order to show me what will be the cost of our resistance. Later, just before our last court appearance, they executed our best and closest friend, Shirin Alamhuli, who was a Kurdish political prisoner fighting against the criminal regime in Iran. We shared some of those stories in our book, Captive in Iran. Moreover, they sent us to solitary cells in another building for 40 days. In that building, every day we could hear the voice and cries of other prisoners who were being tortured. We were kept in cells that we could barely move around in with a light on for 24 hours. We endured long hours of interrogations while blindfolded. We had no contact with our families for months and could not have a lawyer for 6 months. It was Jesus and his love and presence that helped us to remain faithful to the end. It was Jesus who was protecting us, giving us the strength to endure those difficult situations. Finally, after almost 9 months of interrogation, with the power of God and because of the support and the advocacy of many Christian and human rights organizations, we got released. However, we were warned by the government that we could not live safely in Iran as Christians anymore. Therefore, we were forced to leave the country. The persecution of Christian minorities has increased in the past few years. Even those Christians who are not in prison or have no activities have to hide their faiths. Otherwise, they will risk their lives and lose their public benefits, such as losing their jobs or their right to education. All churches that held services in Farsi, Iran's official language, have been closed and their leaders arrested. Members of historical churches, Armenians and Assyrians, only have limited freedom and are under constant surveillance by the government's intelligence agencies. They are treated as second-class citizens and are forbidden from ministering to people from Muslim background and from preaching the gospel in Farsi. Since our case in 2009, the Islamic Republic regime in Iran has changed its tactic because of the international pressures. They rarely charge religious minorities with apostasy to avoid international pressures. Instead, hundreds of Christians and other faiths have been arrested by the Iranian authorities and charged with disrupting national security for being a Christian and participating in home churches, and would receive prison sentences of between 2 to 15 years. They also convict some of them of spying for or cooperating with hostile states, especially the United States and Israel, in order to sentence them to death by hanging. The United States, as a world power, can play a major role in asking the international communities such as the UN and other European countries to hold the Iranian regime, a member state of the UN that has subscribed to Universal Declaration of Human Rights, accountable for violations of human rights, including the rights of religious minorities. We need a global call to action, and the international community must stand up for human rights values all around the world. I, as a U.S. citizen and someone who has been experienced the persecution and witnessed firsthand the brutality of the Islamic Republic regime in Iran, urge the U.S. government politicians not only to repeal the death penalty for apostasy and blasphemy laws, both in practice and in law, but also to make accountable the violators of human rights in Iran. This is what America should stand for. This is what American heroes paid the price and lost their lives to defend and expand democracy all around the world throughout the history. This is what made America the greatest nation in the world. The Iranian people will never forget those who stood with them and those who betrayed them. History will judge you. As Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Thank you so much, and God bless.
There you have it, my dear friend, Marzia Amorizadeh. What a powerful woman. What a powerful spokesperson. What a powerful voice for freedom. And she knows firsthand everything she says she's experienced. She knows what it's like to not have freedom. And that's why I am very happy to endorse Marzia Amorizadeh as she runs for state representative in District 67 in Georgia. I know that if elected, she will be a tremendous voice for the people of Georgia, as well as a tremendous voice of freedom for Christians and minority groups everywhere that are under persecution. So I want to just bring this to your attention, that on my page you will see a link to her campaign website. If you care to donate, this is something you can do, and her story will be there. I just ask that you would share her story on your Facebook page. She is a tremendous voice for freedom. Speaking of freedom, yesterday, February 23rd, 79 years ago, on February 23rd, 1943, two young university students were brutally executed by guillotine. Their crime? Printing anti-Nazi leaflets all over Germany to awaken the German people to the atrocities of Adolf Hitler. The name of their organization, their resistance group, was called the White Rose. They are world famous, world-renowned young Christians who gave their life for freedom. I wrote a book about 3 years ago called The White Rose, Long Live Freedom. And on the back of it, I described them this way: a small band of courageous university students dare to stand up against Hitler, who has seized power in Germany and plunged them into a world war. Calling themselves the White Rose, Hans and Sophie Scholl print thousands of leaflets condemning the dictatorship of Hitler and urging the German people to resist. Without using violence, the White Rose opposes the Nazis with the power of the printed word, risking their lives for the precious gift of freedom. Now, this book is unique because it ties right in with Iran. The lead character in my book is Samira, and the book opens up with Samira revisiting the White Rose Museum, the new revamped museum, in Munich, Germany. This young English teacher from Tehran, Iran, is on a quest to bring freedom to her country. And she is inspired by the lives of Hans and Sophie Scholl. So in my book, I show you how she goes to the museum and goes to the graves of Hans and Sophie Scholl in the White Rose. She weeps over the graves, and she thanks them for being so courageous, and then talks about writing this book. And in this book, The White Rose, there is a scene where Samira has gathered some university students, where she's the English teacher. She has given them a copy of her book, The White Rose, Long Live Freedom, The Story of Hans and Sophie Scholl. And in the book, throughout the book, this group is reading the story of Hans and Sophie Scholl. And in the end, they are so inspired by the lives of these young people that they want to take the message of the White Robe. They want to do what Hans and Sophie Scholl did in Germany. They want to do it in Iran. So this is a unique book. I don't want to say everything about it because then I would have given away the storyline. But I want to talk to you briefly this morning about the lives of Hans and Sophie and why they matter so much to me. There was a film about 4 years ago called Death I'm losing my train of thought because it was such a powerful film. It was by Dinesh D'Souza. It was called Death of a Nation. And in one of the scenes in Dinesh's movie, it's a scene about Hans and Sophie Scholl and how they were under pressure and hiding, and yet they were giving out anti-Nazi leaflets all over Germany. They were standing up for freedom and being a voice for the German people. And Dinesh wrote this movie and this scene to remind us what cost it could be for us, because our nation, as you well know, a socialist nation, much like the Nazi socialism of Adolf Hitler, suppressing our freedoms, hatred of Jews, violence, insurrection, if you will, the things they are doing to change the government of our country into a socialist nation. And at the time I wrote this book, Bernie Sanders was running for president. So I want to spend a little time this morning to remind us about the precious gift of freedom. We've heard from Marzia and what she endured as a Christian in Iran. And you may think, well, yeah, that's in Iran, and that's horrible, but what about here? We're free here. Well, look at all around us. What's happening to our freedoms? What they're teaching our kids in school? The price we're paying for speaking out or being silenced by big tech? It's very scary what our government is doing. They're shutting down our freedoms. They've been shutting down our churches. They're opposing any kind of trucker convoy. Look what's happening in Canada. The world is changing. And I fear that many of us may end up being like Hans and Sophie Scholl. If we dare to speak out, we will lose our lives. I wrote this book 4 years ago, in the beginning stages of what I think is becoming full-blown today. And so we can learn so much from the lives of Hans and Sophie Scholl. What price freedom? What happens when you dare to go and speak out against the big techs, the big mandates, the government oppression? Look what happens. You are canceled. You are hunted down on the internet. You are threatened. You are, in some cases, assaulted. In other cases, you're put in jail. Think of those peaceful protesters, if you will, those that went into the Capitol. I don't condone the violent ones, but there was many that were just there, and they are still in jail in Washington. Do you understand what's happening all around us when you look at Canada and you look at the U.S., and then you look at the context of my book, The White Rose, Long Live Freedom? Is this a picture of what is going to happen to us? Well, some of you may say, well, yeah, there's some problems here. Look what's happening. But, yeah, it can't get that bad. Yes, it can. And I believe we're headed, unless God intervenes, we're headed for a totalitarian government. We have the Constitution. We have safeguards. But look what's happening. They put a big wall up against the People's House, the White House in Washington, with the truckers coming. Do you know what they're doing? They're trying to say to the common people, you and me, this is not your house. This is our house. There's a fence around the Capitol. What is happening to our country? That's why I believe what Marzia Amorizeda just said a few months ago at that forum, what she's trying to do in Georgia, and what my book is saying with Hans and Sophie Scholl is so important today. I did not only write this book to spotlight Hans and Sophie Scholl. I wrote it as an example of what can happen to you and me today. Things are getting so out of hand and so out of control with the overreach of the government. A lot of my Iranian friends in the election last year before it occurred said with all of the uprisings and all the rioting and all the tearing down of statues and all the things they're doing to our kids in school, it's, she said, one of my Iranian friends, Mona, told me, this reminds me of when I lived in Iran, what was happening when the mullahs came to power and when the Shah was forced to leave. This is the same climate. It scares me, Randy. Many Iranians are saying our freedoms are being taken from us, and it reminds us of what happened before the revolution. They ought to know. They lived through it. Their parents, their friends lived through it. And they live here now as Iranian Americans, and they're seeing what's happening to our country, and they're terrified. They're sounding the alarm. So what I really recommend you doing is taking some time to read my book, The White Rose, Long Live Freedom. It's a unique book, as I've explained to you, but it should be a book that will motivate you, that will awaken you, and help you to see how important our freedom is. The White Rose, Long Live Freedom, is available up on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. My interest is not so much to sell books. It is to awaken you. And this morning on the cross in the desert, we've had two important examples of awakening. Marzia speaking out for religious freedom, and my book, The White Rose, speaking out for freedom everywhere against a totalitarian government. I wish that I didn't have to talk about this subject. I wish things were peaceful. I wish things were happy and successful and prosperous. But right now, our country and our world, for that fact, is going through chaos, and it needs our voices. And it needs our prayers. So this morning, as you've listened to the program, please take the time to share it on your webpage. Please, if you feel led to, be a donor and a spokesperson for Marzia's campaign. And please join me as well in praying for the world and the people of Ukraine as they themselves are fighting and struggling for their freedom. It's all around us. The signs of the time. And Jesus says, when you see that, look up, your redemption draws nigh. I am coming. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the cross in the desert. Have a safe week, and I will see you again on Monday for the next broadcast.